Welcome to Focused on Christ, where we are passionate about exalting Christ and equipping the church. I'm your host, Mike Crump, here with Pastor Nathan Smith. And on today's episode, we'll be providing a little bit of an English lesson. I hope you're ready for this, Nathan.
We'll see.
Were you good at English, grammar, or anything of that nature, or is that...
I was.
Okay.
It was something that I enjoyed.
Nerd.
No, I love rhetoric. I love English. I did not like chemistry.
Okay.
I had to really work in chemistry. So those of you who are out there who are the scientists, engineers, and things, I got by.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work.
Well, I hated English. I love writing. And I love parts of it, but I just, grammar and all that kind of stuff, I just can't remember anything. So help me here.
Well, sometimes, you know, like anything, it depends on a good teacher.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? I mean, I remember my high school teacher.
Yeah.
There were sometimes he would read through The Princess Bride to us, a piece at a time.
Oh, that's
a book.
Fun. Yeah.
At our senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he got caught so much up in the story, the entire class was gone. He just read us that book. But, you know, he was so good at it. It gave us an appreciation for literature and coming into the world,
yeah,
and enjoying the,
yeah,
the rhetoric and the grammar of it, that,
okay,
by example, he actually taught well.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. You're still a nerd. All right. So maybe you can help us here. What's the difference between a simile and a metaphor? That was always one of those things that...
Oh, man. Well, I mean, a simile generally is the like or as comparison.
Okay.
You're not making a direct correlation. You're saying this is like that, right? But mm-hmm. a metaphor is comparing two images that are obviously different,
yeah,
with not a like or as, but you're just equating the two.
Okay.
So the image that is... meant to describe something deeper.
Gotcha. Last week, we did have some descriptions of the church we talked about, the chosen race, the royal priesthood, the holy nation. This week, we're going to be looking at a few key metaphors of the church, which I think are very interesting. And some of them, you know, kind of have a, I think you've joked about it from the, like the bride of Christ and
yeah,
the sons of God, like there's this gender specific, and it's like, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. So we're going to get into that in a moment. But I found this to be an interesting quote. This is from Matt Schreiner from a Nine Marks article. He says, when the scriptures speak in metaphors, they are both describing and creating in the people of God how to think and act. And so not only do they just describe something,
yeah,
but they help us understand how we function in that thing.
Yeah.
And so I think this is very helpful for us. And so I'm praying that as we go through these, that that will basically do that for those who are listening.
Yes, and scripturally, it can actually have been helpful to differentiate the two, that often parables of Christ mm-hmm. are presented in a form like a simile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kingdom of God is
like yeah,
right? And it's not meant to be an exact equating. It's just meant to give a general picture of comparison.
Mm-hmm.
A metaphor, an example might be, if I said, Mike, you have a heart of gold.
Oh, thanks.
Right? I didn't say like a heart of gold. I said, mm-hmm. you have a heart of gold. What am I saying? I'm saying your heart
is filled with metal.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's filled with tremendous value.
I'm a literalist.
Right?
I'm sorry.
It's value. So you're trying to connote an image, but you're describing something tangible,
yes,
with that image.
Yes. And so our first one we're going to look at is the sons of God, that we are called sons of God. Galatians 4:4-5, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons.
Mm-hmm.
What is the significance of sonship? Can this be interchanged with the sons and daughters, or is there a specific reason sons are such an important part of this?
So we have to step back into the ancient world and realize that inheritance of the carrying of the family name, the bearing of the family name,
mm-hmm.
the patriarchy of the household was passed through the son.
Yeah,
it was a very patriarchal society, not only in Israel, but across the entire Mediterranean world. So when you look at this, this is not a gender issue. This is mm-hmm. not a sons and daughters, male and female. He's speaking of you are all sons spiritually, mm-hmm. in that regardless of whether or not you're a male or a female,
yeah,
that in Christ you receive the rights of the son. You
mm-hmm.
receive the inheritance of the son, that you bear the name of mm-hmm. the son. And so to my sisters in Christ, you are spiritual sons of God.
Yeah.
Now, when we say sons and daughters of God, what we are trying to say is we're part of the family of God,
yeah,
both men and women.
Yeah.
And I think that that's fine.
Yeah, we see we are children of God all the time, which exactly. can connote the same thing there. Yeah.
Yes, but here he is specifically in Galatians. If you think about the whole issue of Galatians is over matters of the law.
Yeah.
It's matters of identity. It's matters of salvation. Mm. And what Paul is bringing out we are sons, we're adoption of sons, is that under the law of God, in Christ, we all receive the same inheritance, whether Jew, Greek, male, female, yeah. we're all sons of God.
Yes. And so we can look forward to, and I love that adoption as sons. There's just this promise mm-hmm. of a coming inheritance that is ours in Christ, and something to be cherished and remembered. And then on the flip side, we have another one, which yeah. is the bride of Christ. In Revelation 21:9, then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." So you and I are brides.
You lost me there. Like, I just feel...
Do you feel called out? Is that...
No. Going back to that grammar was not your thing.
Yeah.
Back in the beginning, you said that you didn't like
yes,
English.
Yes, exactly.
We are not brides. We are together,
oh,
composed
the bride.
Of
I'm sorry.
The bride.
Well, see, that just...
So, I mean...
Now I see why you had that look on your face. We are the bride of Christ.
Oh, my goodness. Mike is a mail order bride.
I'm
there
sorry.
We go. So, I'm not. I just want to be clear.
And things have gone downhill at this point.
Just really quick. No, you know, it's one of those things that I think as a pastor, if you sit under me long enough, it's one of those things. Oh, Nathan's going down his little soapbox tangent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Angels
in one thing, and brides in another.
And this is one of those where it's my sisters, you are called sons of God in your spiritual identity. My brothers, you are called part of the bride of Christ, meaning you are in covenant relationship mm. with the Son in an unbreakable, holy relationship that marriage itself actually points to.
Yeah. And we see that Ephesians 5, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. And so we see this beautiful mystery there in Ephesians 5, that we are the bride of Christ. And I love the image that we see in Revelation is this the bride coming down,
yeah.
But it's really it's Jerusalem, but it's the bride of Christ. Maybe help us understand that a little bit. I know that's a little bit of a tangent.
Well, Jerusalem was always indicative of the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you think about Jerusalem, when Jesus was talking about it, or in the Old Testament when it was referred to as Zion or as Jerusalem,
yeah.
it was the epicenter of God's people.
Yeah.
It's one of those images that refers, you speak to a part that refers to the whole.
Gotcha.
So instead of saying all the people of Israel, which sometimes it does,
yeah.
just by speaking to Jerusalem, you're speaking to the capital city mm. of that people. And so when we talk about Jerusalem coming down, it's indicative of here's the capital or the city
mm-hmm.
of the people of God, but it is also the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
It's not just a nation. It's a people who are in covenant with the king in a marital covenant that cannot be broken
mm.
who also receive the full inheritance as sons.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, the next thing I want to go to is one that we often use and we've used in this podcast before, is that we are called the body of Christ. And I really think this is one of the most beautiful pictures of the church, and because it's multifaceted. Romans 12:4-5, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. So help us understand here, what is the picture painted that we are the body of Christ?
The body of Christ has a functional purpose, but also a visible purpose. And the functional purpose is that each one of us serve different roles.
Mm.
Like he makes the illustration. We have fingers, toes, we have eyes, we have a mouth, the different aspects of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, Nathan Smith, right? I'm serving in some ways as the part of the mouth, if
yeah.
you will, because I am one of the most vocal voices in this local congregation
mm-hmm.
to speak the word of Christ to the people.
Yeah.
But there are lots of other people who are hands and feet who are ministering in ways that my mouth is not.
Yeah.
And then the scripture makes the point. It's like, you need them all. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't say, like, I'm just a mouth and that's all I need. Yeah. We all should be mouths. No, we need hands. We need feet. We
It'd
need
be really loud if we were all mouths all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly. We need that differentiation to be a healthy body.
Yeah.
The other thing is that the body is the visible component of our existence. Like, I'm looking at across the table at you, Mike.
I'm sorry.
And there's more to you than what I can see visually, mm-hmm. right? So there's your mind, the thinking process physically going on in your brain. There's the soul component mm-hmm. that I can't see with my senses. What I see is the body, okay? That's your physical representation here.
Yeah.
When we think of Christ on earth, Christ is not visible in and of himself in all of his radiant glory
yeah.
that is in heaven. The visible Christ on earth, and this is an incredible thought, has been given in charge to the church. Mm. So the church is the visible Christ on earth.
Yeah.
This is, we are to create a sense of, when people look at the church, they should get a sense of the image of Christ, the picture of Christ, the nature of Christ should be seen in the church. We have it's an incredible calling that God has given us.
And this is why unity in the church is so important.
Yeah.
Because when the world looks at a church and there's backbiting and maliciousness and just contempt among members, it does not portray the reality of Jesus in any way, shape, or form. Or if a church is not willing to engage the community or the world exactly. with the gospel, it kind of shows a world that, okay, Jesus is about this building, yeah. but he's not about a greater purpose that is the salvation of the nations.
Yes, absolutely. And unity is a Trinitarian value or nature, actually, because the Trinity is in total unity.
Yeah.
So unity pictures the very nature of God. And then unity also demonstrates that Christ himself is a unified being.
Yeah.
And that all of these things, his love, his grace, his mercy, his proclamation, his service, his kindness, his humility, all exist in perfect unity mm-hmm. together. And we are to demonstrate that as the people of God.
Yeah. John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so we see again this picture of, if we are to demonstrate that we are of Christ as a body, we must love one another. And this is something that I think the world calls us on all the time, and especially as we talked about a couple episodes ago, the infighting that can happen on social media and other things can really just taint the picture of what the church is and who Christ is himself. And so it's important for us to take that into account as we go about our lives.
And when we think about that command, many people think about that. What is the greatest command? If I say, what is the greatest command that Jesus gave? And it would mm-hmm. be love the Lord your God with all heart, soul, strength, and mind, yep. and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Significant in John 13:35 that you just quoted mm-hmm. is that Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you.
Mm.
So this new command actually transcends the love your neighbor as yourself. How are you supposed to love one another? Not as you love yourself,
yep.
but as Christ himself loved you. And then that becomes the defining mark of the inter-body love of the church, is not just love your neighbor and love society, because even the world can mimic yep. that to a degree.
Yep.
This is not love as you would like to be loved. This is love as Jesus loved you. And that's a very different dimension yeah. and even a much deeper dimension.
Yeah.
And when you love as Jesus loved you, then people will know you're my disciples, because you're broadcasting the love that comes from Christ.
Yeah. And when I think about that, what comes to mind is Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for
excellent.
Us.
Yes.
So it is not, I will love you according to what you can do for me. It is, I'm going to love you despite what you do to me.
Exactly. And matter of fact, it's love, not only to love, but love to exalt and to yeah. reconcile and to build up that person who actually is your enemy. That's Romans 5.
Yep.
Right? That's how we were.
Exactly. And so with all this in mind, I pray that it is encouragement for all of our listeners, that if you know Christ, if you call him your Savior, that you are part of a body of Christ, and that you are seeking to bring Amen. Unity and joy among those you serve with and are fellowshipping with. Because it's so much more important than just your weekend experience at a church or religious service.
Amen.
It is about something more profound and beautiful than that. And we pray that you would be encouraged towards these things. Any last-minute thoughts, Nathan?
No, I think we covered a lot there, and I just hope that people will be encouraged and see the value and the importance of what the church is, and hopefully to be encouraged to engage even more.
Amen. Well, thanks again for listening to Focused on Christ. Next week, we'll begin looking at the purpose of the church. What is our goal as the body of Christ? What are some specific things we can take from that purpose? Till then, you can send us questions, comments, or any church-related topics or content to let us know, because I would love to discuss, like we did previously, about some content things going on in the church as a whole. You can email us at questions@focusedonchrist.com.